Random House Audible presents Going Wireless, Transform Your Business with Mobile Technology. This is the author, Jacqueline Easton. This is not an audiobook about technology. It's an audiobook about empowerment. It's an audiobook about liberation. It's an audiobook about the information revolution we were promised in 1994 when the internet pledged access to data for all. But what was positioned as a revolution felt more like servitude. In exchange for access to these silos of information was the need to be strapped to a computer and a wired phone line. Consequently, as we became more dependent on this seductive conduit of communication, we also became more bound to the technology providing it, thus tethering ourselves to monitors, keyboards, and dial tones. Something was missing. Ah, right, our independence. At the risk of sounding like a Chinese proverb, a map does you no good if it sits on your desk while you're lost 10 miles away. And that's precisely the solution that mobile technology provides. Wireless is salvation in two words: anytime, anywhere. So if it sounds like hype, I understand. The speculation is sky-rise high, and as Fast Company's senior editor George Anders once wrote, mention the words wireless internet, and it's as if you shouted free beer at a fraternity party. The reality is that wireless is not the next technology gold rush. It's a quiet transformation that has been progressing for years because, as you will learn in a moment, it's not just about cell phones and Palm Pilots. There's much, much more to it. But before I can tell you about the wonderful wireless world ahead of us, it's important to respond to the most popular belief about mobile technology in other parts of the world. By now you've been told that the rest of the universe is wirelessly way ahead of the United States. In fact, if you believe the insane headlines about how far behind we are compared to Europe and Asia, you might actually think that the folks in the Netherlands have surgically attached their cell phones to their bodies and that the Japanese are molecularly beaming pizza to themselves using their iMode cellular handsets. While these examples are obviously nonsense, what is true is that the Bishops' Conference did order all mobile phone transmitters dangling from Church Tower Mass in Italy to be removed. You see, it's not that the rest of the world is so far ahead wirelessly. It is that the people in these regions use their cell phones a lot more than we do. In many of these countries, cell phones are equal to or less expensive than landlines. Keep in mind, too, that less than 50% of the world's households have any type of phone service. And because prepaid service is the norm outside the United States, anyone can get a mobile phone without credit checks or service contracts. But the biggest slice of the pie is that there was agreement on a standard of how the phones would work. By doing this, Europeans could roam from country to country and stay connected. Many in the United States can't traverse their own city without losing a conversation. This was possible because Europeans agreed early on to a standard called Global System for Mobile, also called GSM, and this allowed for network compatibility. In addition to a universal standard, there's another nifty feature of GSM that lets users send text messages to one another over their mobile phones. It is called SMS, and this stands for Short Message Service, and it works by letting users type a few sentences on their cell phone's keypads. Cumbersome, redefined. The message then instantly appears on the handset of the recipient. Now, if you've ever used AOL Instant Messaging, Yahoo Messenger, or ICQ on your desktop computer, you've had a similar experience, only in this case, it's happening through cell phones. What's so appealing about SMS messages is that they are incredibly quick to send, as well as cheap, a fraction of the cost of a phone call. The only limitation is that these quickie missives are limited to 160 characters or less. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Even though SMS works like the messaging systems we are accustomed to accessing via the web, SMS actually has nothing to do with the internet. What happens is that these 160-character packets of information ride alongside voice data on the same pipe. You could think of the voice data like a car driving down the highway, and the SMS message hopping on the tailgate. This is another myth exploded because the Europeans' use is basically voice cellular, not wireless internet access. Now, Japan is different because they are using the wireless internet. It's the style and usage that is different. European users are more plugged into communicating via voice and SMS, while the Japanese system is far more sophisticated and, interestingly, despite the additional power to communicate, much more of a source of entertainment. These iMode devices are sleek with vivid LCD displays that can download images as fast as any standard wired connection in U.S. homes. Appropriately, given the smallness of the units, the Japanese use them to chat, play, and read the news, just about everything but commerce, for now. While the Japanese amuse themselves on their train commutes with their iMode technology, Americans are behind the wheel, talking instead of tapping. In other words, our cultures are both equally dependent, but using the devices in different ways. This, however, should not distract from the iMode's overwhelming popularity. Compare the 10 years it took AOL to reach 20 million subscribers to the less than 24 months in which iMode accomplished the same. The biggest difference, however, between the United States and Japan is how the users were first introduced to the internet. Most Americans sat in front of a big, comfy desktop system with a large monitor and a full-size keyboard. Now, when they see a four-line monochrome display on a cell handset, you can register the disappointment, and this is part of the reason that the wireless web is gaining ground more slowly in the United States than expected. Keep in mind, however, that attractive interfaces have historically lagged behind the technology, so this also is assumed to be moot point. That said, for people living in Japan, where home connections are scarce, their first experience of iMode is just like our first experience of the desktop internet. It is inspiring as you consider the phenomenal communications and data opportunities available. Speaking of home connections, another reason for the perception that we are behind is that our landlines are comparatively quite good. Even though our infrastructure is far from perfect, it remains one of the best in the world. Our challenge now is that the increase in competition and a continuing lack of standards are delaying wireless's ultimate potential, though it does continue to progress steadily. On a final note, to eliminate the misnomer about the United States being behind the rest of the world, let me add that statistically, the United States has more mobile phone users than any other country in the world, with over 100 million. We began in 1978 with 2,000. Japan is second at about 55 million. People love to quote statistics about the Finns because of their 65% cell phone penetration, but Finland only has about 6 million residents. These numbers hardly represent any significant dynamics. So, given this information, here's the first note you want to highlight. Nothing in wireless is what it seems. The big secret about wireless. The phrase wireless generally conjures up one of two images, a cell phone or a personal digital assistant, or what we call a PDA, such as a Palm Pilot. The reality is that half of the wireless installations in business will come from technology you've never heard of. Have you ever waved a SpeedPass wand to buy gas at a mobile Exxon station? That's wireless. Did you ever rent a car with a global positioning system giving you directions as you drove? Did you know that the clothing manufacturers are now sewing wireless technology into garments to track the item through both the supply chain and the retail chain? Wireless not only picks up where the wired internet left off by being able to take it with you, it is also the bridge to pervasive computing, which is about computers being in everything and all those things being connected to the net. For example, these days, most high-end machinery is being equipped with diagnostic chips that can remotely, using cellular-enabled chipsets, contact a service center when repairs are required, all without human intervention. When you hear of these examples, you realize that we are being completely distracted by the hype of wireless and mass consumers. The less obvious, but far more valuable.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?